ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Look at the long shadows. Symbolic at this moment of the journey it's taken to get here. For all this history.
The long journey is over. McIlroy has his masterpiece.
Rory McIlroy winning the 2025 Masters was one of the feel-good moments of the year in sport. It was monkey-off-the-back stuff, and he became a Grand Slam champion. He comes into the Masters this year looking to be the first man to defend his title since 2002, and that guy was Tiger Woods. McIlroy won't have it all his own way as he renews rivalries with LIV Golf's Bryson DeChambeau and two-time champion Scottie Scheffler. And how about the Australians? Will the chef cook? Can Adam Scott recreate the 2013 magic in his 25th appearance at the tournament? And is Cam Smith's ranking outside the top 200 in the world really a reflection of where he's at? It's Masters Week, and we can almost smell the azaleas. I'm Poppy Penny, and this is ABC Sport Daily. Mick Warner is an award-winning journalist who writes for News Corp and is at Augusta National for this weekend's Masters. Mick, the big story around this year's tournament has kind of been happening off the course, and it's, of course, Tiger Woods. We know he won't be there this year. What's the feeling like on the ground with the five-time champ out?
G'day, Poppy. Yeah, look, you would think, you know, he's such a massive name in the game, a 15-time major champion, Tiger Woods, but such is the enormity and size of this tournament that really, apart from a few comments, you know, and you can imagine every player's been asked about Tiger. But I think it sort of, funnily enough, just disappeared into the background. Supposedly Tiger's gone away to have treatment. And so it hasn't been as big a talking point as you would think, because really, you know, this is such a magical place, and there's still some massive names in the game, Rory McIlroy and Bryson DeChambeau and the likes. And so, yeah, apart from Jason Day, the Australian probably went the hardest, you know, when he said it was a little bit selfish.
The only thing that I don't understand is that it's a little bit selfish of him to drive and put other people, that, you know, in harm's way as well.
It hasn't been the talking point that you would think.
Tiger Woods was actually the last man to defend his Masters crown back in 2002. And Rory McIlroy finally, we know, won his jacket last year, and he comes in now as a Grand Slam champion. Do you think the monkey will be off his back or more pressure piled on his shoulders?
No, definitely off his back. I actually followed Rory for three holes this morning, three or four holes, 10, 11, 12, 13. And he was just him and his caddy, Harry. If you ever get the opportunity to come here, it's to watch when it's not that busy on the Monday, Tuesday, Rory hitting bombs 300 metres down the 11th is a sight to behold.
Yeah, it's completely different. I feel so much more relaxed. I know that I'm going to be coming back here for a lot of years, going to enjoy the perks that the champions get here, and doesn't make me any less motivated to go out there and play well and try to win the tournament. But yeah, just more relaxed about it all.
He looks so relaxed. He's just done his big press conference here where the champion comes back every year, and he talked about the weight being lifted off his shoulders, the sense of anxiety.
I feel comfortable on the golf course, feel comfortable with my game. It's been a good 3 weeks at home getting ready and, physically and mentally, and just trying to prepare for everything that this week is going to sort of throw at me. And, you know, I know that I can do it now. So, you know, that should make it a little easier for me to go out and play the golf that I want to play.
Adam Scott, when he won it, talked about this. He said that you have only a champion here because it's unique, and that's the one place the major comes back to every year. And Scotty talked about, talked about that sense of peace that he has with Augusta. He knows he's going to come back here every year. And so that really ate Rory up, like so many other players. Greg Norman, famously, the tension that builds in the final round. And so no one will ever forget that amazing final day when McIlroy finally got it done.
This isn't going right. Might be going right at it. Should come back down off the slope. Oh, my goodness.
But I've sensed that with that monkey off his back, as you say, if he stripes it like he did this morning, he really could go back-to-back. But as you say, it's hard to do and it isn't done that often. There's a lot of distractions if you're the champion. He's got to host that dinner tonight.
People keep asking me, why didn't you go more Irish? And I said, because I want to enjoy the dinner as well.
Everyone wants a piece of him, but he is a spectacular golfer. And when you're a little bit relaxed, I remember Hank Haney, Tiger Woods' old coach, he said in the days before a major, it would just be him and Tiger on a practice range. And he said when Tiger was in the zone but with no pressure on him tournament-wise, he could do things that were just impossible humanly. You know, he could pick out a tree 200 metres away and hit it. So, yeah, I think Rory will be in the mix. And what's really interesting is Bryson DeChambeau, who's on the other tour, the LIV Tour. There's a bit of a growing rivalry between those two. Started at Pinehurst a couple of years ago when DeChambeau got him at the US Open.
Another epic up and down at Pinehurst for a US Open championship. Bryson DeChambeau now has two.
It's one of those things, like, I got him at Pinehurst, he got me here, and I hope there's more of those to come because it's great for the game.
But now, last year, Rory got him. Some things have come out about their final round pairing last year where Bryson accused Rory of not talking to him, and Rory accused Bryson of a bizarre trying to flip a tee to see who would putt first.
We sort of look at each other and he's like, I'm like, well, I think it's me to go. And he's like, well, I think it's me to go. He goes, well, why don't we just throw a tee up for it to see who goes first? And I'm like, no, this is the final round of the Masters. This isn't some game on a Tuesday afternoon somewhere. I'm like, no. I wasn't going to wilt in that situation. I was just going to stand firm.
So Bryson said today that it's very much a rivalry. And so he's really talked that up.
That's great if we can continue to have a rivalry. I don't see any problem with that. I mean, if anything, that helps kind of create more buzz around the game of golf. Do I respect him as an individual? 100%. Do I want to beat him every time I see him? Absolutely. There's no question about it. But I think that's what's so brilliant about the game of golf is that juxtaposition of having that respect, sportsmanlike respect, and then wanting to just absolutely beat the living you-know-what out of them, right?
So, yeah, I think it's going to be game on, but Rory, he'll be right up there for sure.
Another name to throw into that mix and a man who's familiar with winning at Augusta is Scottie Scheffler. He's a two-time champion, and this feels crazy to say because he's still number one in the world, but he hasn't finished inside the top 10 in his last three PGA starts. So where is he at? We know he plays this course well. Is he kind of in a position to challenge McIlroy and DeChambeau?
No doubt he is, but he's definitely, like all golfers, you and me included, you know, it's a funny game. He has lost his swing. It looks a little bit long and his timing's not there. But when you say, you know, he's out of form, and he is by his own lofty standards, but he's still around 24th, 20th making, you know, which is pretty good golf in itself. I think, you know, he had his second child a week ago. So he's probably had a little bit going on.
I'm getting plenty of sleep. It's, you know, my wife's a trooper, and yeah, having a newborn is always an interesting thing. But Remy's so young right now that he, you know, they sleep a lot of the days. I think he's still used to being in the womb.
Scheffler, yeah, before this little period, he was on a Tiger-esque run. He'll be there. The cream rises to the top at Augusta National. But yeah, he has drifted a little, but it just adds to the intrigue of what will be a great tournament.
Let's get into the Australians. This is an Australian podcast, so we want to talk about the chances.
Yes.
I think we should start with the top-ranked local hope, and that's Minwoo Lee. He's ranked 25th in the world, and he hasn't won a PGA event this year. He's certainly been in the mix sort of all year. He's known as the chef. Are we going to see him cook?
Yeah, I spoke to him. We spoke to him, the journos here. There's four Australian journalists here, I think, and we had a chat to him. He sort of admitted that after he had that debut win last year at Houston, that he'd just roll in here to Augusta and get it done. And he concedes now that probably, he probably wasn't in the right mindset. So whilst he hasn't won, he came second once this year, I think, at Pebble Beach, and maybe tied for six at the Arnold Palmer. So he's in good form too. You know, he's clearly way out in front, in my view, is the best Australian.
It's my fifth year, so I think just getting a little bit more comfortable with the crowds and the course, and it's a good feeling. Like, I had that feeling when I was first out on tour with the new courses, and you have that pressure because, you know, you just don't know where to go, stuff like that. So it was nice to be on the grounds and actually feel like, let's just play some good golf.
Now, there's only four Aussies here, which is the lowest that I can remember in a long time. You know, Adam Scott, of course, will always be here as a winner. Cam Smith, he's running out of time. He's got 2 years left on his exemption for winning that British Open in 2022. And Jason's making a few waves here with his fairly garish outfits. but he, you know, he's came second here on debut, always plays well. He's got a game suited to Augusta, and he says he's playing with a fade, which tends to be the formula around here.
Sometimes I wish I was left-handed. You know, I feel like the golf course suits a left-hander better. I don't know. I think when you have an attitude of like gratitude and being here, I just feel like it just sets you up better for success.
I think the Aussies will be around the mix. Yeah, you know, Scott is playing really well. He's pointed out that quite a few guys are winning in their 40s. Woodland last week, Justin Rose a few weeks before that. So age is just a number, he says. Tiger Woods famously won here at 43 in 2019. And then there was that legendary one, Jack Nicklaus, in 86. So can be done, but probably Min would be the pick of the Aussies for me.
Jason Day's had injury troubles in for the last sort of 12 or so months, but he's really looked to have found his form. This is Adam Scott's 25th Masters appearance, which is incredible. He's kind of finding his way back into form, but I'm really interested in Cam Smith. He's missed the cut at all four majors last year, and his form woes were pretty well documented. And his form in LIV Golf hasn't been blistering either. Where is he at? The 2022 Open Championship, where is he at with his form at the moment?
Well, I think he's been really grinding, doing it a bit different here this year. He's playing a lot on his own. And most interesting to me is he really opened up. He was a bit defensive in the last couple of years if you questioned whether going to LIV had affected his sharpness, whereas he spoke yesterday and actually admitted he had a bit of brain fog. You know, whether that's having kids, a combination of going to LIV where you didn't have the 72 holes. It's all a bit Mickey Mouse on LIV, as much as they try to say that it's not. So, but he's admitted to that. He's only 32. He's got the talent. Brandel Chamblee, the TV analyst over here, said before he went to LIV, he likened him to Tom Watson and thought he'd go and win seven or eight majors. Now, obviously that's not going to happen with what's happened, but no, just watching Cameron, he's got a good mindset this week.
Probably haven't got the results that I've wanted, but the game's felt really good. Just need to get a little bit of momentum going and I'm right there. So, you know, back at a place that I love this week and hopefully it starts here.
Look, time's running out. He needs to start doing well in these majors because he's dropped to 222nd in the world because you don't get those ranking points as easily on LIV. So I think you can expect a good showing from Cam this week.
Mick Warner, enjoy the weekend. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Poppy.
Headlines. Cricket Australia have released their list of 18 nationally contracted women's players. The fresh faces include fast bowlers Chloe Ainsworth and Lucy Hamilton. Meanwhile, Taylor Vlemmick and Tess Flintoff miss out. Staying with cricket and former Australian opener David Warner has been charged with mid-range drink driving. The 39-year-old was arrested after a positive roadside test and a second test allegedly returned a reading of 0.104. He's due to appear in court in May. Socceroo Mitch Duke will retire from international football this year after what he hopes will be a final World Cup appearance.
Reflection on that, Duke's header! Magnificent goal! Duke is the king for the Socceroos.
He hasn't appeared in national colours since October, but he's hoping to add to his 50 caps and 13 international goals at this year's World Cup. AFL and Will Haywood will miss Carlton's clash at Gather Round with the Crows after his one-week ban for striking was upheld at the tribunal last night. The Blues argued that the impact should have been graded as low and the conduct careless, but the panel disagreed. And Alex de Minaur is through to the final 16 at the Monte Carlo Masters, beating Brit Cam Norrie in a gritty three-set victory. I'm Poppy Penny and this is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Declan Byrne. Thanks to the Masters, Prime Video, the USGA, Fox Sports and FIFA for the extra audio used in this episode.